Sasquatch is a podcast about Bigfoot. It's recorded for the skeptics, the believers, the so-called knowers, and those who just have a casual interest in the subject. Information, visit sasquatch.com. Hi, I'm Seth Breedlove.
And I'm Mark Matsky.
And this is Sasquatch. I can't give an episode number because I've already recorded quite a few of them, and I'm never sure what order I'm going to run them in. Mark is my pal from the Ohio Bigfoot Conference. We met this past spring, and what conference number was this? Like 20?
That was number 3 for us.
Right, but like total, what? How many conferences have there been?
25, like I think. Okay. Yeah. I think this was number 25.
Okay. So Mark and I met down in Cambridge at the Ohio Bigfoot Conference, which is the big deal Bigfoot conference in the eastern seaboard, I think. And we are not on the eastern seaboard. We're more in the Midwest, but nonetheless. There are a shocking amount of Bigfoot reports in this part of the world, and this conference kind of celebrates that. And Mark and I met at a place called Theo's in downtown Cambridge on Friday night. And it was a glorious moment for both of us because it was my dad and I's first time at one of these conferences. We didn't know what to expect. I kind of expected it to be a festival of crazy, and it wasn't. It was a lot of families and just totally normal, fun-loving people who happen to have an interest in a subject that a lot of people think is weird. But Mark came over to our table with his wife and son, and because there were so many people in the restaurant from the conference that there were no available tables, so they came over to our booth and asked if they could sit with my dad and I, and we were like, sure. So they sat down, and we quickly realized that Mark and I have a lot in common, and we're all Christians, so we have that in common, and it was a beautiful moment, I think.
Yeah, it was amazing because everything that I brought up, Seth was like, oh yeah, I've heard of that. Mm-hmm. Or yeah, I know who Jack Kirby is. And
right. The Jack Kirby thing's awesome.
Yeah.
You don't meet a lot of people that that know who Jack Kirby is right off the bat, or like you have a knowledge of his stuff. Like his work.
You know, I just keep collecting it. Marvel has those Marvel Masterpiece collections and, like, Tales to Astonish and Suspense Tales and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because we showed up, and we'll have to talk to Mark DeWorth about this, but mm-hmm. all the information that we got said show up at 6:30 and not before. Right. So being good law-abiding citizens, yes. We showed up at 6:30, and the place was entirely packed. There was almost no free place to sit at all, and so, you know, it just worked out.
My dad and I were sitting in the car watching the throngs of people walk by, and I was like, I don't think we should wait until 6:30. So we went in probably 10 minutes before and sat down.
Mm-hmm.
But, so the Ohio Bigfoot Conference, you'd been there, this was your third year, so tell me about your first year.
Okay.
And like what you expected and what you ended up getting out of it.
Yeah. Well, the first one that we went to, we just went on Saturday because we live close enough where we're there in 45 minutes from our home. And the place was fairly full, although nothing like it was this past year. And we were able to get in on Ron Moorhead's session, who is the Sierra Sounds guy, and he had an entire PowerPoint presentation with audio clips of the various vocalization sounds. And I thought that was pretty cool. I knew he was going to be there, and he was sort of the reason why I was intrigued to go to that particular convention. And my son Andy was with me, and at the time he was 9 years old, and he thought the whole thing was great. I forget who else we saw there. Oh, I think, I can't think of her name, but she was on one of the Finding Bigfoot episodes in Connecticut or some, or okay, Rhode Island, okay. Perhaps.
She was there this year, too.
Yes, she was.
Dina Palazzini?
Yes, that's it. Yeah. And so we heard her speak, and we kind of roamed around the dealer's area, and you know, we liked it enough that we said, okay, next year we're going to make a little bit more of an effort mm-hmm. behind it. So we signed up for the VIP package and the whole deal. And that year, the year previous to this, they had guests like Tom Powell and Lauren Coleman, which for me, that was a very, very huge moment, getting to meet him and getting repeated autographs of his books and him just signing postcards and things for our family, because I really, my huge introduction to cryptozoology in a serious way was his book, Mysterious America, which I would check out repeatedly from our local library. I was probably the only one who checked it out ever, because I would bring it back, let it be processed, and then check it out again. And so I followed his career for a long time, and it was just really important, in a sense, to meet him, because he had sort of kick-started me down this path of just having an interest and seeing it being taken very seriously. And just, it was, for us, it was sort of a magical weekend, because Mark Mazel sort of, the conference Saturday fell on Andy's birthday. So Mark found out about that, and he said, oh, I'm going to get this poster signed by all the guests. So he took it upon himself to get everything signed for him. Mm-hmm. And you know, we bought a footprint cast for the first time. But then we went on Sunday, and Dennis from the Pennsylvania group, just out of nowhere, comes up to Andy and says, hey, this is a Patty cast. Do you want this? And Andy no. said, yeah, please no. No, he signed the back of it and everything, and you know, we were just blown away by it. Sunday morning, we pull up to the festival part of it, and Lauren Coleman's standing there next to his car. So we started chatting him up and talking about baseball and Ichiro Honda's Half Human movie, which was sort of his introduction to cryptozoology as a child, seeing that movie on television. Mm-hmm. So we're talking to him about movies and if he knows anybody who has the Japanese original version, because that's allegedly impossible to get. But
yeah, we have to mention here that Mark is a huge Godzilla, and probably, I think you seem to have a knowledge of pretty much all Asian film in general, especially monster movies. So yeah. You're a pretty big cult monster movie fan.
Yes, this is true. This is true. And the thing that's interesting about Ichiro Honda's Half Human, if I can go there for a second, it was produced by essentially the very same team of people who produced the original Godzilla film, right down to the cast, and it's almost the same cast that's in Half Human that's in Godzilla, and has sort of the same pessimistic tone to it. I mean, the snow creature living in the Japanese Alps is pretty much an altruistic creature and not bothering anybody and has a little son, and then mankind comes along and ruins everything. And that's sort of the theme of the film. Mm-hmm. Of course, then they had an Americanized version of it, and John Carradine probably filmed all his scenes in a day, sitting in an office somewhere pontificating about, you know, evolutionary theories and missing links. And it's pretty amazing. And they, in the process, they cut about a half hour of the actual movie, which is far superior. So That's how most people have seen it.
So it's similar. It's very similar than the Godzilla, where they cut in the. Who was the American actor that was in Godzilla?
Raymond Burr.
Raymond Burr,
as the reporter Steve Martin.
Right, Steve Martin.
Yes.
Can you get Half Human anywhere in the States now? Like, can I get it on Amazon or?
Yeah, you can get the John Carradine version of Half Human. Sometimes it's on Amazon. Mm-hmm. and eBay, there's usually a couple copies floating around out there.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's worth it because the suit that they came up with for both of the creatures, to this day, I don't think I've seen a better Bigfoot Sasquatch slash Yeti creature. They just did an excellent job, and that has a lot to do with the
Patty
special
costume.
Effects. Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh. All right, back to the Ohio stuff.
Ohio Bigfoot. Yeah, so it was a magical experience for us, just so much fun, and people went out of their way to be nice to us, which was exceeded our expectations in every way. Mm-hmm. So then when the next year rolled around, we were ready to sign up for as VIPs again, and we saw who the guests were going to be, so we realized how important it was to get in there as soon as possible, because you had Cliff Berrickman, Lyle Blackburn, and of course then Bob Gimlin, and I knew that that was going to generate more interest than any Ohio Bigfoot conference ever before, and I think it did, because you had that crossover of people who, like families and kids who knew Cliff Berrickman from the TV show, and then you had the old school people like Bob Gimlin's return to the conference, and they know that this is, who knows how long we're going to be able to enjoy his presence, you know? So they got it in while they could.
Yeah, talk real quick, because I know I've mentioned it on this show and maybe the other show that I do, the podcast, Ancillary Characters, podcast about comics. Talk real quick about what the audience for the Ohio Bigfoot Conference is like, because it's something that took me by surprise. What the confluence of people is.
Oh, yeah. Well, it does. You see a bunch of subgroups there, all of whom are interested in the whole subject, but you've got the hardcore backyard researchers and more professional researchers who are there and who go on expeditions, you know, who get their friends together and have trouble themselves to buy thermal imagers and things like that, and they go out as often as they can trying to obtain evidence. I think you have a sort of a middle group of people, and I would probably put myself in this category, who are very interested in the subject but are not necessarily going out looking for it. I mean, my interest is always sort of laid in the area of research and reading up and trying to find new material as far as that goes, and I think there's a lot of interested parties who are willing to entertain the idea that there is a Sasquatch supported by our, you know, our ecosystem here in North America. And then I think definitely this time there was a third stream of kids and families, even real small children, who just seem to have an interest in the subject through probably finding Bigfoot almost exclusively. I mean, my son Andy and I were able to get in on a Finding Bigfoot taping that took place at Jurassic Park outside of Salt Fork State Park, and it was the same way. I mean, you have the camo guys who look like they're ready to go out
and
right now.
Someone? Yeah.
And you have the kids with their families who are really just there for fun and because their kids are interested. And then this middle group of people who are, you know, have an affinity for the subject. But I will say that in the lines that I was waiting in and just sort of milling around in the dealer's area, it seems like an awful lot of people who are there have had some type of encounter. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily a sighting, but they have heard sounds off of their back porch. You know, just you listen to the conversations, and an awful lot of people are there because they can go to the conference knowing that they can tell somebody, you know, I heard something, and our family has a cabin, and we hear stuff there all the time, and they're not going to be laughed at. You know, they're going to be taken pretty seriously. Like, you know, you don't have to worry about what people are going to say. So that's to me, that's sort of the demographics of that conference.
So there's a big announcement coming up in the next, I think, week, too, from Mark concerning next year's Ohio Bigfoot Conference. So I would highly recommend the conference to anyone, mostly because it's just a lot of fun. I mean, especially if you go with someone you know, you're friends with, or I took my dad, and we had a blast together, and we're planning on getting a cottage next year and actually staying down there. So, all right, we're going to wrap this episode up, and there will be more, so make sure you stay tuned in over the next couple of weeks. And Mark will probably be appearing on the show fairly regular for the future, as I hope so, anyway, as long as I don't have to pay him too much.
Thanks. Negotiations are ongoing.
Exactly. Exactly. we're deep into it. I'm trying to trade him some sort of action figures, give him some sort of Godzilla, life-size Godzilla statue or something in exchange.
Excellent.
All right. That does it for this episode.